This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very delighted to be with you. Love spending this time with you Monday through Saturday, Saturday being our best of day. We run the program that my producer believes was the best program of the week, and that always airs on Saturday in the same time slot. So we invite you to listen to us and to see what God might be saying to you on all of these days of the week. I'll tell you what, he always shows up for me on these programs. I cannot believe what graces I receive from you and what it is that you tell us about and how it edifies my own life of faith. I hope that's the case with you too. And you can join us live here. We're always inviting you to do that. Yes, indeed, we certainly are. Let me give you the number that you can use. It's toll free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do invite you to call us if we weren't able to go into depth with your question yesterday or we didn't get to you. We're here for you. Call us back. Ryan Penny is on the phone lines. Love to keep Ryan busy. He likes to stay busy. He loves talking with you. So call in, say howdy hey to Ryan. If you're out there in social media land watching us on EWTN Facebook page or EWTN's YouTube channel. We're there too. And we invite you to use that chat feature to put in your question, comment, insight, or inspiration. It comes up here. Jeff Burson, our producer, always goes out there and grabs those and gets them up for me on my board. So we can address those issues too, giving you a good old wave if you're out there in social media land today. Always eager to chit chat with you about those wonderful ways in which we see God showing up in our lives. Holy conversation. That's the stuff of saints. You know that? It always amazes me how when you look back at the annals of church history, you see that saints knew each other. And, you know, they didn't have the communication systems nor the travel opportunities that we have today. We well know that. And yet somehow, you know, they were weaved together in this tapestry of God's life in the midst of the day and time in which they lived. And I love that. And when I think of this program and all of the good programs that are available to us via EWTN radio and television too, you know, I think that's part of what the work of Our Lady is. I think that she is weaving together this tapestry of God's people who are doing something about this day and time in the communication of God's will and in the bringing forth of God's will at this moment in the history of man. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about that this morning. But before we get out to that, I wanted to share with you about some really good things that are going on. And bunches of good stuff happen to be going on. Something very neat is happening this evening. I am going to be at a Theology on Tap that is taking place right here in Birmingham. It's my first opportunity to attend a Theology on Tap in Birmingham. I've attended a couple in different places, but this is the first time here in Birmingham, and I'm looking forward to it. So if you're here in the Birmingham area, and I think, you know, you fit into the Theology on Tap profile in terms of demographics, I think it's young adults up to the age of, I'm going to say 40. I could be making that up. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Come and join us. We're going to be at the back 40 this evening. I believe it begins at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be there at 6:30. So we certainly do extend that invitation to you. That's something neat that is going to happen this very evening. All kinds of other good things are happening though. And I was telling you that I'm going to be in Fargo, North Dakota, and that is coming up very soon. I'll be flying out on Sunday, and Monday evening is going to be a beautiful, beautiful buffet. I don't know if it's a buffet. It's a banquet for Real Presence Radio right there in Fargo. All of the information is available for you out there on their website, yourcatholicradiostation.com. yourcatholicradiostation.com contains all of the information that you need to know about attending this beautiful day. And I'm certainly hoping that you intend to come and to join us there. my goodness sakes, please do come up to me, and let's spend some time together. Let's have some holy chit chat and see what the Lord is up to there in Fargo. I know all kinds of good things. We hear from callers, from that area all of the time, and we're always delighted to receive your calls there. So that's coming up on Monday. Then on the 23rd, which is, you know, just a few days after that, I'm going to be in Memphis, Tennessee for the Women's Morning of Spirituality. That information is available for you out there on our website, womenofgrace.com. Just get out there to womenofgrace.com and you can read about this morning of spirituality in Memphis, Tennessee. Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. We're going to be there, and the we're is myself and my husband, Jack Williams, as well as Joanne Kane from our ministry, Women of Grace. So we invite you to check that out. That's coming up. And then we've got other exciting news. Yes, we do. We've got some very exciting news coming up for you, and I'm going to be sharing that with you a little bit later in the broadcast because I don't want to deluge with you with too much information all at one time, but I want you to keep your ears on and keep listening because we've got some exciting news coming up for you a little bit later on in the program. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We certainly do invite you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, because when you go out there, well, we can wave to you and you can wave back, but I can't see you, but you can see me waving right now. You can use the chat feature, put your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement up right there. And we would be most grateful to hear from you today. Good stuff happening, good stuff happening. So, you know, I've got a bunch that I want to share with you about. I want to talk a little bit about Our Lady today. We spent time talking about her yesterday, but frankly, I just don't think we can talk about her enough. And we had the opportunity to speak about her on that special feast of hers, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And I picked up this lovely little book. I'm going to hold it up. It's, I got to tell you, this is a well-used book. And for those of you that can see on social media, you're going to say, oh, that is a well-used book. Here it is. It's My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary. And this is an older publication, but the publications are still available. So you can just put the title into your search engine, My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, and you'll be able to order it online there. It's a great book. I picked it up this morning and in my time of prayer, and get this, these are the words that greeted me, and I just wanted to share them with you. They're beautiful words, and I think it helps us to understand how much our Blessed Mother wants to be involved in each of our lives, the way in which she desires to show us her maternal beatitude and her beautiful power of intercession. And in this little book, My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, Father Emil Neubert has it set up like a dialogue. Now, I've talked with you about this before, but it's Mary and Jesus that are communicating to us. And of course, as I said, this is not, he's not having locutions and he's not having apparitions. This is a convention, a literary convention that is used. But I do believe that he's expressing the sentiments that have come to him through his own time of prayer. And he says this, and I want to leave you with this, and we'll see where we go with it after the break. But here's what I read this morning. Tell your mother about everything that disturbs or impresses you. She understands the turmoil in the depth of your heart. She understands what you yourself cannot understand. Let me read that again as we go to our break. Tell your mother, the Blessed Mother, about everything that disturbs or impresses you. She understands the turmoil in the depth of your heart. She understands what you yourself cannot understand. Coming right back at you on the other side of the break, Janet Williams here. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Women of Grace Live. We are having some holy conversation going on today. We certainly are. Inviting you to join us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, so that we can have that holy conversation and see what God is up to. I'm going to talk with you a little bit in a moment here about our Blessed Mother, but we've got Carlos with us out there in Fort Worth, Texas. So let's get to him first. Hi, Carlos.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, too. So tell me a little bit about what's going on, Carlos.
Well, going through some really difficult, ugly on my side, I guess. It's ugly across the board. Marriage stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, now this far down, my wife left me a couple of days, 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, it really hurt.
I'll bet.
And I understand, you know, I'm not an angel. And I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't skirt chase, none of that stuff. I'm up there in the years, so thank God, burn out on all that. But I did bring some of the work home and Moody and stuff like that, and I guess it just beat her up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not talking anything physical, anything like that. Nothing.
No, I understand.
Nothing ugly like that.
You but, took your bad day out on her.
Right, and I guess she just said, you know, hey man, see you later. But here's my thing. I'm 62. She's 60.
Okay.
We said forever, and granted, we've been married 4 or 5 years, but nonetheless, we've been down the road enough to know that it's forever. And forever is not a long time here on this earth. And if forever is forever with Jesus, why would we not want to work towards that together, no matter what? And now that she's been gone this long and has her own place, and it hit me last night because I was listening to you, or this morning, early this morning, and I left you a couple messages, but I see what he's doing with me. You know, because I got laid off 3-4 weeks ago. And I was sitting around and waiting and this and that. And idle time does eat you up. And what he did was, what our Lord did was, he said, hey, I've got a job for you. And it's out of state, and you're going to have to travel. Well, that's what I did. And I hit some bumps in the road, and it got scary. And because usually the wives, they do all the stuff. They do all the brain work. And the men, whether we think so or not, we do very little brain work and actually very little footwork. Really. And, you know, I saw just what he's doing. And what he did was he pulled me out of that situation, stale situation, away from everything, period. And he made it so that I see everything clearer. And I heard you, and you said...
Carlos?
Yeah, yeah.
What did I say? You dipped out on me. I didn't hear you there.
Yeah, no. I just had to catch my breath. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's
you
okay.
You said that. No, you said that that is going to be, you know, clear.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Well, anyways, I'll let you talk.
So let me ask you this, Carlos. So is it clearer?
I just want your prayers, please.
We're going to pray. Is it clearer for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, this is the way God works. He's such a wonderful, wonderful God. He loves us too much to leave us where we are, and he's always nudging us forward, giving us all of the grace that we need to go forward, but nudging us forward so that we become that image and likeness of himself. And that's a hard process. It's a laborious process. And I'm so pleased that you are willing to submit yourself to that process. We were talking yesterday, for those of our listeners, Carlos, that were not with us, we were talking yesterday about renunciation of self. We were talking about, dying to our self-will in favor of the fiat, in favor of what God's yes is all about. And, you know, one of the points that I wanted to make yesterday that I didn't make, that I'll make now, is that living, you know, I was yesterday in prayer, it was almost as if the fiat became a world unto itself. And that is where the fullness of life is. The fullness of life is in the fiat. The fullness of life, with all of its happiness, with joy, with all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is contained within the fiat. And we were talking about this stripping away of self-will, almost as if a cataract is being, you know, peeled from our soul so that we can see things more clearly. And so
exactly.
It sounds, yeah. And how beautiful that you're in this process, you see. And once
it's
we
really
begin,
neat.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
please,
you go.
Please go ahead.
No, you go.
it's really neat that what you were saying is exactly what he's doing. Exactly. And I'm thinking, because I've been begging him that I want to be more like him and treat people like he does.
That's right.
Just what you were saying, I was watching it.
Wow.
It was really neat.
Wow, what a tremendous grace, Carlos, you have received. Just a tremendous grace. And then I would say that if you couple with this intentionality of heart, this disposition of heart that you want to be more like him and treat people like he is treated, I would couple with what you heard yesterday, what we began our program with today. And what we began our program with today were these words from my ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary. And I have goosebumps. So I'm quite certain the Holy Spirit is in this moment with us. I would encourage you to heed these words. Maybe the Lord had me reading these words this morning just for you, Carlos. These are the words. Tell your mother about everything that disturbs or impresses you. Now here, we don't mean impress you like, wow, that's really a great feat that somebody did over there. We mean impresses you. Anything that is like an indentation that, on the soul, you know, anything that impresses your soul. Tell your mother about everything that disturbs or impresses you. She understands the turmoil in the depth of your heart, Carlos. She understands what you yourself cannot understand. And then Father Neubert writes this: are you sad? Share your affliction with her, and she will help you to endure it, or will change it into joy. Are you happy? Tell her your happiness, and she will intensify and purify it. Do you feel discouraged? Lay your fears and failures before her, and she will obtain real success for you. Have you been successful in an enterprise? Go and thank her for it, and ask her to assure the fruits of your labor. And then this: are you unable to make a choice in the midst of your perplexities? Consult her. She will enlighten and guide you. Are you without strength and willpower? Come closer to her and renew your energy. Tell her not only your profound emotions, but even the simple impressions and reflections which your ordinary occupations suggest. Does not a child act in that way with its mother? And do you not believe I acted in that way when I was near my mother? And that's Father Neubert in the voice of Jesus. Jesus saying, and do you not believe that I, Jesus, acted in that way when I was near my mother? So here's direction for you. You see, this distribution of grace has come through Our Lady, Carlos. And so God is the initiator. He's the prime mover. He's the initiator, the prime mover of all action. But it pleases the Father then to pass the responsibility of the distribution of graces to the one through whom the ultimate grace came. And that's Our Lady, the ultimate grace being salvation through her fiat, which impregnated her with the life of Christ. And so there's something about that fiat again there, I think, that we ought to take note of. This fiat, this yes, in union with Mary's yes, impregnates the soul. Hard for a man to conceive, in his mind. A little play on words there. But the soul is always female in that it's receptive. And so the fact of the matter is, when we give fiat in union with Mary, our soul becomes impregnated more and more with the divine life itself, until our vicissitudes, our weaknesses, our frailties become crowded out by the one who is the light, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we then begin to radiate him to the world. That is the Marian character. So Mary wants to draw very close to you at this time. She wants to be very, very near to you. And our Lord has more for you. And don't worry right now where you are in the marriage. That will take care of itself as this transformation continues in you, right? Treat your wife to the extent that you have opportunity to see her. Treat her as if she were our Blessed Lady. Treat her that way, Carlos. Treat her that way. And no matter, even if she acts very un-Marian-like toward you, you continue to treat her as if she were Our Lady and you were our Lord. And I can tell you that healing will come. I don't know about the healing of the marriage. I'm not promising that. But healing will come. Healing will come interiorly. And you will begin to experience, even in the midst of the sorrow, a great joy. Okay?
That'd be great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So let's just now commend all this to prayer like you asked, okay? And so it is, Father God, that we come before you in this moment, and we lift your son Carlos up to you, and we lift his wife up to you too. And you see the strain that exists in this relationship. And, you know, it can be very painful, Lord, when the light of truth begins to break upon our soul and begins to break in our heart, and we begin to see ourselves more clearly in that illumination that only comes from the one who is the Spirit of the living God. And so I would just ask now that even as clarifications are coming to Carlos, that sweet beatitude of Our Lady would be right beside him, making this not just easy to bear, but making it joy to bear. Father God, you never reveal something to us about ourselves, even areas where we need correction. You never reveal it without a sweet honey of your divine and holy love for us being tasted by the soul. And so I pray this for Carlos. I pray, Lord God, that whatever is necessary to bring this couple back together in a harmony that they never experienced before would be available to them in the moment in time that you select. Until then, Lord, may we praise you and thank you for the magnificence of the deeds that you've already worked and the deeds that you will work. And so it is, Father God, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. God bless you, Carlos.
Amen. God bless you and your family, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Yeah, beautiful thing, you know. You know, we're going to go to Sam in just a minute. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. 2-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Available for you too out there on social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page has the chat feature that you can use there. I wanted to share with you a little bit about Our Blessed Lady and her maternal benefaction towards us. And this comes from another writing of Father Emil Neubert. And he explains it so beautifully. And so I'm just going to read this to you, and I want you to listen up very carefully, because I think that it explains to us how it is that Mary is about this business of bringing us to her son, and how it is that Mary brings us the graces that each one of us needs, right? And Father Neubert, in this book, it's called Queen of Militants, militants being, you know, the church on earth. We are the church militants. So you and I, we're militants, right? So Our Lady is our queen. She's queen of militants. So you'll hear that phraseology here. It says this. Remember that Christ has willed to redeem you in union with Mary. Mary's work, like Christ's, also calls for an apostolate. His work would not be achieved if at present the Blessed Virgin could not apply to each soul, in particular, this redemption which she has already merited for all in general. Now, he's not saying that Mary is the redemptor, she is our Savior. She's not the Redeemer, but he's saying that she has the graces, and she, in union with her Son, brought us redemption through her fiat. And then he says this, I do not know whether you have ever read this strange text of St. Paul. He says that the gifts and the call of God are without repentance. He meant that God does not act like a human master who, having chosen a certain servant for some function for which he later finds him unsuited, takes it away from him to confide it to another more trustworthy. Father Neubert continues and says, men change instruments because they are ignorant and do not know from the outset which instrument is the most appropriate. But God knows all things. And so he chooses from the beginning men whom he finds qualified, or rather, men to whom he has given the necessary qualifications. Then he supports them in their vocation, unless by their sins they make themselves absolutely unworthy of his assistance, as was the case with Judas. Now, here you go. Therefore, listen up, since God chose Mary to cooperate in our redemption, he will sustain her in this function until the end. That is, until each well-disposed soul is actually saved. Otherwise, he would be stopping his mother before her task was half accomplished. He would be calling her to start a work and then not permitting her to finish it, despite the fact that she always cooperated with him perfectly. Therefore, as Christ will always remain the supreme militant, even to the end of the world, Mary, too, will always remain a great militant in union with Christ. Like him, she is a militant in heaven by interceding with him for us, and on earth by raising up militants, that's you and me, who will aid her and whom she will animate with her spirit. To these militants, she gives a very special power. And so you see that we are caught up in this divine and holy plan of God to receive the graces we need to work with Jesus and Our Lady in the salvation of the world that's been entrusted to us. And the battle takes place all around us. It takes place corporately in our world. It takes place within the confines of the church, as we have seen. It takes place within our personal lives. It takes place within the battleground of family. It takes place in our professions. It takes place in our occupations. But we are not called to give up, because we have our Lord and our Lady pleading on our behalf, and Our Lady distributing through the merits that exist through the redemptive act in heaven, taking those very graces and dispensing them upon us, so that we begin to experience within the context of our own lives that indeed nothing is impossible with God. That's worth repeating. And why not you say it wherever you are right now? Nothing is impossible with God. Carlos, nothing is impossible with God. My dear friends in Christ, nothing is impossible with God. And when we have a well-disposed soul to receive those graces, and we act upon those graces, the power of God breaks forth in our lives in so many ways. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Back to the phone lines on our return. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams. Absolutely delighted to be with you today, inviting you to join us, too. We've got two phone lines open for you there. One of them has your name on it. Here's the number to call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. We're also available for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to go right ahead and to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or words of encouragement right in there in the chat feature, and it comes up. And Leon did exactly that. And I'll tell you what, Leon, I am so deeply touched by the message that you forwarded to us via Facebook. And I want to share this with everyone, because I want us all to be praying for you. Leon writes this, and this is in response to you, Carlos, so I hope you're still listening. Leon says, everything happens for a reason, and God can make good out of anything. Everything happens for a reason. And of course, Leon, I totally agree with you. Romans 8:28, for God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. Now, Leon goes on, and he shares this with all of us today. He says, I have cancer and have been given 90 days to live as of last week. And I have accepted it despite having two young children. I, too, have been through two divorces, and I'm a single father. However, I am on good terms with my ex-wife, who is the mother of my children, so that is a blessing. God's will and not thy will. Carlos is going through a mourning process, and I advise everyone to say the Serenity Prayer. Well, I want to tell you, Leon, what an inspiration you are to us today, and how beautiful that rather than looking at the length of time that God is entrusting to you on this earth, rather than looking at that length of time through eyes of self-pity and through eyes of resentment and bitterness toward God, and that coming out in a negative way toward those that you have in your circle, you are looking at this through the eyes of faith, and you're looking at this through the eyes of God. And you are looking at these 90 days as blessing in your life. and you are seeking to bless others in these days that you have left. And you're blessing Carlos, and you're blessing me, and you're blessing everybody that's listening, because your example is meritorious, and one that I hope that we keep in the crosshairs of our remembrance when we suffer in any way. I believe that you are right. Obviously, Carlos is grieving, but the grieving process, whether it comes through the loss of a loved one or whether it comes through the loss of something, you know, that takes our loved ones away while still on earth, such as divorce, that grieving process can be an absolutely exquisite time with God. There's something about the humility that great suffering brings when we suffer well that opens us up to graces we never could have imagined exist. And that, I think, is what you're wishing for Carlos, Leon, and that's what you're experiencing now. Now, our God is the God of the impossible, right? We were saying that, you know, right prior to the break. And I know that God can work miracles. And though the doctors say 90 days, that might well, very well might be the case. But your disposition of heart puts you in a very key position to be receptive to any grace God wants to bring you. So I'd like to pray for you, Leon. I'd like for all of you to pray with us as we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and present Leon and his current situation to the throne of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we do lift Leon up to you in this moment. And we know that nothing is impossible with you. We know that when we are filled with your divine life, nothing is impossible for us because we operate not on our own strength, not on our own wisdom, not out of our own power, but out of yours. Father, I know that there is no disease that has ever been known to man that is more powerful than you. I know, Father God, that you are the creator of all things, and I know that you are all goodness. And I know that as creator, you can take the dust and the ashes and make something beautiful out of them. And I know, Father, that because you are all goodness, all you desire is goodness for us. And that is why you work good out of evil, because you are about the business of always restoring us and renewing us and making us whole. Father, I do not know what your holy plan is for Leon. I do not know if this is the appointed time for him to come into the fullness of life, which only takes place after we pass through this temporal dimension, or if it would be your will that he would experience more years on this earth. But we want to pray in your will, regardless of what your will is. And I ask that if it be health, if it be a restoration physically of his body, that this would take place. We know that you can do it. And if it be your will, let it be done. Father, if this is the appointed time for Leon to make this almost imperceptible movement from temporal time to eternal time, then I would ask, Father God, that our Blessed Lady would be there, that every spiritual blessing in the heavens would be obtained by her for Leon, that he would, even as he is still in this process of moving toward eternal life, be tasting the sweet beatitude of heaven and all that awaits him there. If it be the appointed time, I pray for the grace of a happy death, that he receive viaticum, and that this journey is not taken alone, but taken with you, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Blessed Lady, all of the angels and saints. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in full confidence, God, that no matter which way you work this out, it is the perfect, perfect, perfect working out for Leon. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. God bless you, Leon. Feel free to call in or to Facebook us anytime that you would like, and we will sojourn with you if it be your desire and the will of the Father. God bless you, dear man. Let's go to Sam. Sam is Lampasas, Texas. That's where he is. Armor of God Catholic Radio is the way he's connected with us today. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. So what's going on with you, Sam?
All right. So a few years ago, I got divorced, and it was whatever. I served a lot in the church. I taught. I was an altar server. I was an acolyte, always doing something for the church. And so now I find it a struggle to figure out where do I belong? How do I serve my church and God as a divorced man in the Catholic Church? And recently I talked to somebody about this, and they said, well, maybe you need to find a different church. But I'm a Catholic man. And currently my girlfriend, who also is Catholic, who suffered a divorce as well, she is struggling the same situation. So I'm just trying to figure out, where do I belong, and what can I do? Because my priest told me, he said, you can serve. But I feel like I would cause trouble within the church if I were to do something like that. So I don't know where I belong. I'm just trying to figure out what to do. How can I be?
Well, Sam, you know, I have a little thought here, and see how this sits with you. First of all, the church does not close her doors to someone who is divorced. And as long as someone is in the state of grace, they can receive the sacraments. Divorce doesn't take you away from the sacraments. The only thing that would take you away from the sacraments would be living a life that is an unchaste life, a life that is not pure. It can raise scandal if you are divorced and you have a girlfriend who is divorced and there is nothing that's happening with regard to seeking remedies that the church might be able to offer you. And I say might because I don't know. That would be up for a tribunal to determine. So I don't know if you've spoken with your priest about whether or not there is any evidence that you would qualify, and so would she, for a decree of nullity. But I would encourage you to check that out as a possibility. So as long as you're in the state of grace, the church obviously welcomes you, and you can have the full reception of the sacraments. So I'm wondering, and this is what I want to ask you, and you don't have to answer it. It's just mostly for you to ponder about and to take into your time of prayer. And I would always commend it to Our Lady, because she likes to be a mother to us in all of these ways. Is your conflict arising from something else? Is the conflict arising from not feeling comfortable in the church because there's something else that needs to be resolved? And so I would, you know, I'm not asking for an answer on the air. I'm just asking you to think about that. And to consider that, because obviously it is important for you to remain connected to our Lord through the church that He has founded and through the portals of grace that He gives us, which are the sacraments.
Sure, I understand that. And I will tell you, my ex-wife actually worked for our church for 20 years.
Okay.
And so she no longer goes there. Her own decision, not any. I go to church still at my church because that's my church.
Sure.
And that's where I've been at for the last 26 years.
Right.
You know, so and so you know, I it's hard sometimes because I go there and the people that used to talk to me don't talk to me anymore.
Right. And I understand.
So, and I you know, I'm trying to be pretty open about where I'm at and how I am about in life.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out, like I said, I don't want to cause any trouble for my church. I don't want to cause trouble for certain people have decided to leave church on certain scandals and whatnot. And I don't know if mine would be considered a whatever scandal or not, but like I said, I'm a divorced man, and I don't know. Something in me tells me I shouldn't be allowed to serve communion. I shouldn't be allowed to, and I've even volunteered to teach class, and they, and I knew this person who's in charge of the program, and yet I don't get called, even though they need people. So, and I'm okay with that. That's up to them. I can't do anything about that.
No, but you have spoken with your priest, right?
I have, yes.
And he's aware of your involvement with this woman, right?
This is a new situation, actually. And
okay.
I need to talk to him again and let him know, hey, this is how where my life is right now. And so, yes, I do need to talk to him about that.
I think that would be a wise decision. And I think that he could give you the guidance that you need to have. And again, I want to say, now prior to this development with this lady, you know, there's nothing preventing you from entering full-heartedly into the life of your community there in your church, unless there's an impediment that I am not aware of. So, you know, I want to say that. And it's very sad that these things do happen. First of all, divorce is ugly. Nobody likes divorce, and divorce doesn't just divide the couple. It divides a lot of people, and you're experiencing that within your parish. And these things sometimes simply have to be weathered. The important thing for you, Sam, is to live an upright, holy life in the state of life that you're currently in, and to rectify anything that you can rectify before you move forward too far in this relationship, because it gets difficult to extricate oneself from a situation like that as the emotions and the attachment to the person grow. And then if you find out at some point that it's not going to be headed in the direction you want it to be headed in, you know, then you find yourself in a really major conundrum that didn't need to be there if things would have been appropriated at the beginning.
And I will tell you, I actually approached my priest a few years ago when we first got divorced about getting an annulment. I was essentially discouraged from that.
Well, why would he discourage you unless he believed you didn't have...
I don't know.
One of two reasons would immediately pop into my mind. One, he thought that there was hope for the marriage to be reconciled. Or two, he didn't think that you had grounds. So I would prayerfully, you know... look at that again, and I would go back to him and talk with him about it again.
Sure. From everything I understand, I have full grounds for an annulment, and I know I did some research into it, and when I asked him about it, he said, "Well, let's hold off on that for a while." And that's what was the message that was given to me.
Yeah, because I think maybe he was hoping that there could be a reconciliation, but apparently it's been some time now, right?
No, there will never be reconciliation with my ex-wife, unfortunately. Well, I don't know. Unfortunately, fortunately, whatever it is. My son stayed with me, and so this is where I'm at in life, and I accept it. And, you know, I just want to move on the right way and be able to, I want to serve God in my Catholic Church.
I understand.
That's what I'm used to doing.
I think, you know, this is a time, I think all of these things are hitting you right now because this is a time where, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to clarify, and a time where the grace is available to move forward in a direction to get things the way they need to be so that you can do exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Sam. God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, and thank you for being a son of the church and wanting to remain one.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Let's go to Jerry. He's calling us from Jacksonville, Florida this morning. Queen of Peace Radio is the way that he is with us. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jeanette. This is Jerry, and I was calling because we were talking about will and will and how we block God's will with our will.
That's right.
And there's a third step prayer that I say every morning. It's with a third step of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
And part of it says, "Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will." And usually when I'm not willing to do God's will, it's my will that's getting in the way. And then later I discovered, and I also say this one every morning, the part of a prayer of St. Clement, the Pope.
Yes.
And that is, "Lord, I want what you want because you want it, the way you want it, for as long as you want it." And that's a hard prayer to say and really mean it.
I know.
Because very often it's, you know, his will is not my will, but my experience is his will always works out a whole lot better than my own.
It always will.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he is omniscient and we are not. And we find that we get ourselves into terrible pickles when, you know, we choose our own will over God's will. But he loves us so much that he doesn't leave us in our mess. You know, he comes and he tries to pull us out of it, you know. So sometimes we just make the route to union with him that much more frustrating because we get in the way. It's rare. God never gets in the way. we get in our own way.
But and you know, he has a way of making our mess into our message.
Yes, isn't it?
You know, I work with other recovering alcoholics now, and it's just as part of my program, and it's just been wonderful to see the light come on in somebody else's eyes. And, you know, that can apply to other situations, too. When the gentleman before was asking about a ministry, I know here in Jacksonville they have a ministry to divorce people.
Right.
To help them learn how to live the faith in spite of the situation that they find themselves in, which is, it's not outside the church just to be divorced, but it's uncomfortable, I'm sure. But there are other people that have experienced that, and because of their experience, their unique experience, they are the ones that can make the connections with people who are just entering into that and not knowing where to turn or what to do or how to handle it. So that might be sometimes making the message out of our mess is God's way of doing things, and he's certainly shown me that that the grace comes through pain, that I would have never sought to get sober if I had not suffered enough pain through my drinking before that happened.
You know, it's an amazing thing, and again, you know, this is the beauty of our Lord. You know, He allows us to get to the, He allows us to fall so low that the only one who can pick us up is Himself. And when He picks us up, we begin to see what we had never could have seen had we tried to move according to our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own resolutions for our problems. So you stated that so beautifully, Jerry, and I'm so appreciative for your call today. And I just wanted to comment that, you know, we pray those prayers, and sometimes it's a sheer act of the will. You know, the disposition of the heart is not always like, okay, Lord, whatever you want, you know. There's that beautiful prayer of the Holy Spirit that I say, and it goes like this. It's similar in context. Oh, Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore thee. Enlighten, guide, strengthen, and console me. Tell me what I ought to do, and then command me to do it. I promise to submit to all that thou shalt ask of me, and to accept all that thou permittest to happen to me. Only show me what is thy will. And sometimes I say to the Lord, well, you know, I'm praying this prayer, and it's an act of the will to pray this prayer. I'm not really sure I mean it too much today.
You know? I understand.
I'll bet you do. But the fact of the matter is, He takes that prayer anyway, you know, and He receives it, and He says, well, you know, at least she's being honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's only one person I know of that I think said that prayer, if you will, of turning her will over to the care of God perfectly, and that was our mother, when she said, be it done unto me according to thy will.
That's
total
right.
Submission.
That's right. That's why I always recommend that we tuck our yes into her fiat. You know, we put our fiat in her fiat.
And, oh, Lord, when He said in Gethsemane, thy will, not mine, be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And what a time of that. Oh.
Oh,
that,
I know.
It really, you know.
I know.
Sometimes
I know.
When we say thy will, then we're saying our own Gethsemane, but then it's something much better comes out of it in the end.
It does indeed. Well, Jerry, you've been a blessing to us today. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. It's always a joy to listen to you.
Well, thank you, Jerry. God bless you.
God bless.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's just lovely to be able to have holy conversation on these airwaves. I'll tell you, it's been a beautiful day today. Let's go to Myra. I think we can get Myra in here. She's in Huntsville, Alabama, just up the road from where I am. Sirius XM 130 is the way that she's with us. Good morning, Myra.
Hey, good morning, Jeanette. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. What about you?
I'm doing great. So thank you for taking my call. And I know I'm at the end of your show, but I can take the answer off the phone if you want to. But basically, my question is this. It is very difficult to find spiritual direction. I know that this is kind of like, if it's not now, it has been your neck of the woods. But if you're a woman trying to find a spiritual director, it's even more difficult. And so I didn't know if you have any suggestions how one can go about finding spiritual direction. I tried it before with a priest, but he was, bless his heart, he was so busy we just couldn't make make it work.
Well, let me give you an answer.
You hear that?
Hard. Yeah, I know, baby. And you hear that closing music. So I do want to give you an answer. It is hard. There's no question about that. Ask Our Lady to bring you a spiritual director. In the meantime, two books for you where it's spiritual direction every day. Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. And this 7-volume set of books, In Conversation with God. I always recommend those two books. In Conversation with God is fabulous. Lent and Easter coming up. We've got it at EWTNRC.com. Both books available for you there. Until we're together again, friends, may God bless you. Looking forward to being back with you tomorrow. Bye.